right, it is episode 310 of the PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast. I'm Elio,
yes,
he's
it
Ben.
Is.
Ben, what is going on?
Not much, man. I had a very busy week.
Let me tell you something. I saw you pulling all that weight, sir.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, how?
sometimes I...
You can't fool me. You are the world's strongest man, sir. Look at you pulling that weight.
Yeah.
How?
I don't know. What Elio was referring to was the gym video I posted on my social media yesterday, and that was me pulling 139 pounds on a sled.
That was pretty cool.
Across the turf.
What were you sitting on there?
Oh, it was just turf.
No, because I saw you sitting on something though. When you were sitting down on the ground on the floor, I thought I saw you sitting on something while you were pulling it.
No, that was just turf.
Oh, okay. I thought you had like some special thing seat that was connected to that thing you were pulling. Okay.
No.
Cool.
But if 139 seems like a random weight, no, that was actually the weight of my trainer, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Is that a thing you do?
No, she just decided to be goofy, and for some strange reason, the gym actually has a 4-pound weight. So, I have, 3 45-pound plates stacked up on the sled, and then this tiny little 4-pound plane. It was actually kind of funny.
Yeah, because I was watching. I'm like, come on, Ben, pull your weight.
Well, I pulled it, and I saw that Clay saw it too, so that was actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was quite tired. I had a very good nap after the fact, so. I'm ready to do this podcast tonight, and
go on.
You were saying, right before we came on that we could have done the Dynasty stuff tonight in terms of the predictions.
But no, it's okay. We got it out of the way, and we don't have to worry about it.
You know what? You're absolutely right. We could have, but it's just like, why?
Yeah,
because
it just makes the show longer.
The thing is, folks, right? The only match that has been added of real consequence, arguably, was Chris Jericho versus Hook, and then I know they added like two. 0 hour matches. I can tell you what they are.
I can. Hold on a minute. I'm pulling it up right now.
Oh God, I'm sure they're just riveting.
There is three matches on 0 hour. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, the first one I have is a winner take all for the AEW World Trios Championship and the ROH World Six Man Tag Championships. The Acclaimed versus Bullet Club Gold.
Why is that on pre-show?
I don't know.
What?
Then we have Trent Barretta versus Matt Sydal.
For what reason?
I don't know. Then we have... you see what I'm talking about? These random matches? Orange Cassidy and Katsuyori Shibata versus Shane Taylor Promotions.
What the fuck is that?
I swear Tony Khan books these. Actually, Tony said it on the show on Wednesday. I swear Tony Khan is becoming Vince McMahon. He thinks he knows what the fans will like, so he books these matches, these random matches.
Well, actually, you know what? It would have made more sense to put Trent Barretta with Shane Taylor Promotions against Orange Cassidy and whoever else, because Trent Beretta allowed, Shane Taylor Promotions to attack Orange on the last episode of Dynamite. So that's what would have made more sense, Tony.
Wait, hold on a minute.
You fucking bitch. Yeah, I said it. You think you know everything? No, you don't, you stupid son of a bitch.
Right. See, and that's what Tony was talking about. Like, he's got that Vince McMahon mindset where he thinks he knows what fans will like. And then these fans buy into him. They're like, hey, that was the greatest show ever. No, it's not.
No, it's not, because what did I message you during the show on Wednesday?
This episode sucks, and I had it, and we had it on during the podcast, and it did suck. It was terrible. But we were going to get into all that tonight.
Yeah, and I can't wait. I can't wait till the first time the guys call me back and have me do a guest spot on the show, because I cannot wait to ask them and hear them talk about in person what they think of this current AEW. I'm literally jonesing to hear Tony Diaz, certainly not Tony Khan, tell me what the fuck's wrong with Tony Khan's eyes. I miss that.
We actually cut the book. We only do it like we only do it like once in a while now.
Why did you cut the book?
Because so the guys over at K100,
yeah,
they give us advice. They listen to the show. They give us advice on the show, like, and what's working and like what we can do without. So like, you might wanna scale back on doing the book every single week, because it gets repetitive.
Well, and that's understandable.
Just like, and also the week in wrestling, we don't always have to talk about it. Like, if something happens, we should, but like, we don't have to go through like high point, low points, and stuff like that. So, but otherwise, like, everything's all good.
Well, cool. I'm glad to hear that things are going well. Anyway,
we having call-ins.
Oh my god! I was somewhat hesitant to have call-ins, because not because I had an issue with the fellas, but just because I didn't want to deal with the nerds. And just the shitty takes on things.
And the people that think they know everything, like the one person that said, that's it, Kevin Steen is a modern day Arn Anderson. What?
When you messaged me that, I could have passed out. That was such a horrible, horrible take on things. It's just, oh my god. But we, meaning the PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast, we still do the week in wrestling, and with that in mind, let's get that started.
Also, sorry, one more thing. We do have the second half of the tournament. However, I'm charging the phone, so during the commercial, I'll be able to set up those matches. And after the break, we will be back. Ben will be booking Block B, which is the final block before we move on in the tournament.
Cool.
So, Ben, what do you want to take?
I will take Dynamite, because I know you don't want to.
I don't care. I don't care. Whatever you want to take, it doesn't matter.
I'll take Raw and Dynamite. Then you can do NXT and SmackDown.
Okay.
So let's get started with Monday Night Raw. Let's see. Let me pull it up. Yeah, here we go. So high points. I had actually not a lot, to be honest with you. New Day versus the Creed Brothers versus DIY. I was really happy that DIY have won this match. I would have liked to have seen them win at WrestleMania, but that's neither here nor there now.
I have a question. If
Yeah.
they were gonna, if they were gonna, if they were gonna let DIY win this match, why didn't they just let them win at WrestleMania?
Well, that's and that's why I said what I just said, because
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, it makes no sense. But go on.
But by the way, while we're on a tag team match, so I didn't really like the World Tag Team titles that they debuted on Raw. I thought it looked too similar to the World titles. But I really liked the WWE Tag Team Championships that were debuted
I
on
did like
SmackDown.
that. I did like that segment, though. R-Truth was hilarious in that segment.
Yes, R-Truth is always a high point in his own right. But the SmackDown titles are definitely better looking than the Raw ones, that's for sure. Now, in a perfect world, I'm still gonna say that if I had my way, we would have one set of tag belts rather than two, but I understand it. And at least these belts aren't hideous, as some of the previous versions have been.
Oh,
So
you didn't like the penny titles.
no, and I didn't like any version of the Spartan titles. Whether it be the penny one or the red one or the blue one.
Were bad.
So both versions are upgrades, but I definitely prefer the SmackDown titles.
Okay.
And then the next high point was Jey Uso and Finn Balor. And the last high point I had was Chad Gable versus Sami Zayn. Let me tell you something. The entrance for Sami Zayn was amazing. The energy, the camera work, the crowd, going through the concession area,
Yeah, I like that.
the fact that we found out beforehand that he had his first ever match in this building, 22 years beforehand. I mean, all those elements of storytelling and presentation, chef's kiss, ladies and gentlemen. I love that.
Now, Ben, I think we get a new faction with Chad Gable.
Yes, and I would absolutely be 100% behind that, if that was the case.
The Creed Brothers and Chad Gable, that would be cool.
Oh, please, a new
I
team,
mean,
man. A new heel team angle. Thank you.
I just did you see the poster?
No.
Are you looking at me?
No, let me now I
Dude,
am.
what? You're supposed to have the little window in the corner so you can see me when it's minimized.
Well, I know, but you were just dragged in the wrong you're in the center of the screen. Here,
Oh.
I'll drag you back. There you go. Oh, see, you need to have more creative control over posters in a higher profile position.
Right.
such as WWE or something like that. No disrespect to the wrestling POV boys, because you know I'm still one of you, you know? Don't forget about me now, Tony and Clay. And hey guys, that was a lame self-promotion. But
Paging McFoley.
exactly. But
If
yeah.
you don't, if you don't get the reference, I don't know what to tell you.
Please just stop listening to this podcast if you don't get it, and do your research and come back later. So that match in and of itself was a high point. The heel turn
Chad
for
Gable.
Chad Gable was definitely a high point. The fact that he suplexed him right out of a kiss from his wife was just, I was so excited. And was it unpredictable? No, based on everything that had happened in the
I told
preceding week.
you could see the heel turn coming in the weeks leading up to WrestleMania with those backstage interactions.
Absolutely, you absolutely could. But the way that it was executed was just awesome.
And
Now,
before we go on, because we're talking about Raw and these are wrestlers from Raw, did you see the releases today?
I did, and I can't tell you I was surprised.
I mean, really, what were they doing with Indusher? They weren't doing anything with Indusher.
We were still waiting for Veer after all this time.
I was still waiting for Xylee to come back. They haven't done anything. They hadn't done anything with her.
Well, and that's unfortunate. I think, did a lot of the talent that got released get a fair shot? No. In all fairness, I don't think so. With the exception of Jinder Mahal, and I think that is its own discussion with Jinder Mahal, because like it or not, he was a WWE champion. However, I'm going to play the heel role here and say that the only reason that he was is because at the time they were trying to break into business in India, and the way that it was executed, talking about his both capturing the title and his title run, puts him up there as one of, if not the worst champion ever. I'm not gonna say the worst champion ever because,
That was Mikali.
exactly.
Can't believe they made him a champion. Jeez.
Do you remember the Punjabi prison match he had with
Oh my
Randy
God, the one
Orton?
that no one could see because of the structure.
I mean, you gotta think, after they, put it together, I don't think people are gonna be able to see through this thing.
Right.
Just a thought.
Ben, I have a question though. Why is it whenever these guys get released, they always have something like not bad, but like negative to say towards the company?
Because honestly, because they're bitter, and in a lot of cases, I can understand it, especially when Vince was in charge. Because, look at how it was handled.
Well, because
Look.
I was reading that where Sanga calls out WWE for lack of any representation after release.
Well, I didn't see that, so I can't.
No, I just saw it now. Like he, there's like a thing on X.
Now, is there a, now be honest with me now, is there a confirmed statement from him?
is Saurav Gujar on X on Twitter.
Now, is that Sangha or is that a
That's
reporter?
Sangha.
Okay, what did he say? What did he say?
When it comes to viewership, he wanted from India. He want viewership on Facebook from India. The same goes for views on YouTube and television. But when it comes to talent from India, you're not encouraging it. It's sad, but you need to understand that we come from a land with 1.4 billion people, and they like you and us, and they wanted talented athletes from their home country to be represented and work on an international level. It hurts when I hear this or think about it, but your company doesn't have any athletes from India.
Except for you and Jinder Mahal and Veer, who had years worth of time there.
Right, the Bollywood boys were there.
Well, exactly. But I mean, but the argument could be made that for them that they weren't put in the most, opportune positions outside of Jinder Mahal. But for the reasons I just explained, Jinder Mahal is on the very bottom tier of WWE champions.
Where Jinder's comments are, where it's time to rebuild.
Exactly. If you saw what Ziya Leaf said, that's how you handle something like this because,
Yeah, she thanked the company for, I think, 12 years it was that she said.
7 years.
So sorry, what?
7 years.
Sorry, seven.
That's the way that you handle something like that because it leaves the door open for the future.
Yeah.
I mean, let's use our situation as an example. When I was asked to step aside from wrestling POV because you guys got this amazing new opportunity and the guys over at K100 wanted it to be a three-man show. Did I make a huge to-do about it and go online and blast wrestling POV and say you guys suck and all this other, whatever?
No.
What did I do?
He said good luck and kick ass.
Yeah. Exactly. I wish you guys the best, and I said I would continue to support you any way I could. That's the kind, and that's how you handle this kind of thing in a business environment, because you don't want to burn bridges, in especially in one of the biggest professional wrestling company, because if these guys go and pull like a Drew McIntyre or a Cody Rhodes and go out to another promotion and build their careers and build their reputations, and then when I come back to WWE later on, somebody like Sangha is not going to be able to do that because he talks shit about WWE. Whereas, Karrion Kross, when he got released the first time, he handled it like a gentleman, and he's back with the company now. So it's just, I never really understood I can understand the initial bitter feeling, like, what the fuck, but not just, you don't put that out on a public forum like this. You know what I mean? It's just weird to me. And then low points for Monday Night Raw. Honestly, the Katana Chance, Caden Carter and Piper Niven and
Chelsea Green.
Chelsea Green. I was trying to prepare my voice for the assault of doing that impersonation. I don't do it nearly as well as Samantha Irwin does. And then the next low point was come on, I'm just trying to scroll up. Here you go. Dominic Mysterio versus Andrade. Only because it was like really predictable. Although I did like the Canadian Destroyer on the apron. Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupri versus Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell.
So let
I
me ask you a
don't.
question. Is he a hurt while a heel now?
I guess.
What is going on?
That was very quick. I don't think we need two women's tag team matches on the same show. Especially when you don't have women's tag team championships.
Well, you do, but you only have one set. And they're on the Kabuki Warriors.
What? I just meant on that particular brand at the moment.
Yeah.
You know? And then, to be honest with you, Sheamus's return was a low point for me.
Okay.
Not the return, but the match. And to be honest with you, I agree with people when they say that he didn't look very good.
Yeah, you're saying he looked out of shape.
And Tim, I'm sorry, but I agree with them. He did look out of shape. Now I forgot to mention this as a high point, but at the very beginning of the Chad Gable Sami Zayn match, we got a or I'm sorry, at the beginning of the segment where Triple H and Adam Pearce came out,
The QR code.
we got Pat McAfee making a Terra Rising reference
Yes.
in addition to the QR code. So that, both of those things were cool. So that wraps up my high points and low points for Monday Night Raw. What did you have?
So for high points, I pretty much had the same thing. I had the opening segment with Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, that's a very sad situation,
I
though.
had the tag team title contender match. James of Finn Balor and Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. For the low points, I had the same ones as you. The Kane Carter contender chance, Andrade and the Ivy Nile Candice LeRae. Maxine Dupri match.
Yeah.
So that's all for Rob Ben. I think we should go into commercial and then before we continue.
Exactly.
And I will work on the matches for the tournament.
Sounds good, man.
All right, we're back and we are going to continue the week in wrestling. That's all we have for Monday Night Raw. Yes.
Yes.
All right, we're going to move on to NXT Ben. NXT was bad.
I'm glad I don't watch it.
NXT was terrible. Oh my, okay, high points. The only high point I had. Well, you know what? Kimberly wasn't a high point. It was garbage across the board. You know what? They're all low points. I'm just gonna give you the low points because this was just garbage across the board. I will say, Sol Ruka and Lola Vice, their first match was way better than what they did on Tuesday. The Ridge Holland Joaquin Wild match was stupid.
I thought Ridge Holland quit.
Apparently not, because now
What?
he's feuding with the LWO.
Why?
AOA Authors of Pain versus Idris and Ophi Malik Blade, garbage match. Ivar and Josh Briggs, garbage. The D'Angelo family, freaking calling out No Quarter Catch Crew. Tony D'Angelo getting in Charlie Dempsey's face, like talking down to him. Like, dude, that's William Regal's son. What are you doing?
Exactly.
But fucking NXT, this shit was just terrible this week. No. Shut up. That's it. I'm done with the NXT. Bullshit. Go on.
Well, that was a very quick
Move on
review.
to AEW. More
That's
bullshit. Let's go. Hurry up.
more bullshit, exactly. But
Shit. It's all shit. It's all shit. All right. Shit. Who books that shit? Go ahead.
I will take this serving of shit for you, since you took NXT for me, because that's what good friends do. Okay. So first we get another semi AEW rah-rah speech, this time with Jon Moxley. I only say he was a semi, because at least he came out with the NJPW heavyweight title, which I'm sorry, the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, which he won at Windy City Riot against Tetsuya Naito, which, if you guys missed our review of Windy City Riot, that is now available everywhere for you guys to catch whenever you want.
So stop listening to this one, go back and listen to that one, then come back here and tune into this one.
Exactly. So at least it was cool to see Jon Moxley with that championship on Dynamite, especially heading into Forbidden Door before too long. So that was kind of cool. Let's see. The next high point, I would say, was no, not that. Certainly not that. Hold on. You really have to look for high points with AEW lately. I'm sorry. Hang on. And then the next high point was the main event with Claudio Castagnoli and Will Ospreay, because you can't go wrong with either one of these guys. Surprisingly, they had never wrestled before. And when you get two wrestlers of this caliber, I think you have the ability to make magic. And this one was very, very good, and was a very, very good main event. I love both these guys, so I have no complaints from that perspective whatsoever. Now, low points I have every right to complain about. Let me get you started with the low points, because Elio, I think, and it's gonna sound like I'm joking, but I think I might seriously need some help with
Oh,
some of
okay.
this,
All
okay?
right.
Because my first low point is Adam Copeland, Willow Nightingale versus Julia Hart and Brody King.
What?
What in
What are you doing?
the
What? You see when I say random matches, what?
what is this combination? And I say that not necessarily because of the names involved, because I have nothing but respect for the names involved, but because this was advertised as a tag team match.
And
But
all
for
you
the
fucking AEW fanboys like this and think it's good shit and think Dynamite is good every week. No, you don't know what you're talking about.
No,
Stop with
no, it's
AEW.
not.
AEW Dynamite's good. Shut up.
No, it's not. And in this case, I'm going to explain to you why. Because this is advertised as a normal tag team match, and it is executed as such,
Oh,
despite
wait,
the fact.
I think I saw that. Did Will Nightingale hit a move on a Brody King in the corner or something?
Well, yes, but
Okay. I was trying to figure out, I was
you're
trying to figure out like
feeding me to the
why.
butterfly.
No,
There
but
you go.
I'm seeing, I was trying to figure out why that was.
I don't know.
Okay, go
I
on.
just I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine with that. But so, Willow gets jumped backstage. So it's pretty much it's now a handicap match between Adam Copeland, Julia Hart, and Brody King.
God, make it stop.
But yet the guys can only take on the guys, and the girls can only take on the girls. So it's not really
Fuck me.
it's not really a handicap match, and it's not really a tag team match either, because Willow isn't out there to take the tag. So
Cheers.
fast forwarding a little bit. So Willow forces her way to ringside despite the protest of officials. And so now it is officially a tag team match. I was waiting for some ref to be smart enough to call this son of a bitch off because it makes no sense. So finally, it is the traditional intergender tag team match, but yet not really, because as Elio just alluded to, it the rules didn't apply here, I guess, because Willow Nightingale, I'll say that again, Willow Nightingale, keep that name in mind for the rest of this sentence, was executing offensive moves on Brody motherfucking King. She was doing cannonballs in the corner on a 300-plus pound man named Brody King, who looks like he could kill people. And yet he's selling this move for Willow Nightingale, who looks like she should be Willy Wonka's assistant. What is going on here? Help me understand the madness. So that's a low point for so many reasons, because logic doesn't exist in this situation. Yes, take a sip. Oh, there's more, Elio. There's more. You might want to prepare yourself. Because it's not just this match. No. There's more. The next low point I have for you folks is, hold on, I'm just scrolling down. Hold on. Okay. Kazuchika Okada and the Young Bucks versus Pac, Daniel Garcia, and Penta El Cerro Miedo. Now, for those of you that don't remember, before Pac went MIA back to England, presumably because of his visa issues, he was part of the Death Triangle with Penta and Rey Fénix. So from that perspective, it makes sense for him to be tagging with Penta. But if you're asking me why is Daniel Garcia in this match with them, I have not a fucking clue. And you know what, folks? As much as I've admitted that this is my favorite gimmick of the Young Bucks, can I just say this out loud now? I'm sure Elio will allow it. It's getting to the point where I'm almost ready to say fuck the Young Bucks, because I just don't care. Anytime they're out here, I just don't care.
Now, Ben, I was reading that Jack Perry's might make his return on Sunday, tomorrow.
Yes, and I'm sure the wrestling world will just have an orgasmic reaction to
Oh, you fucking fanboys. AEW
that.
fucking worshipping mother. Stop. Alright.
Myself,
Jesus.
on the other hand, I will be doing yay, hooray, and continue sipping my Mountain Dew. Like a regular human being. Actually, I might have tea. I don't know. Because I wanna sip and savor the tears of these AEW bitches.
My word, you're gonna have a spot of tea with Lord Aftertaste.
Exactly. So I really just didn't understand the structure of Daniel Garcia tagging with who he was tagging with. And I'm sorry.
Alright.
I'm sorry. I've mentioned this before. I like Alex Abrahantes because he's a fellow pug owner. So I have to give him credit for that. And I understand that he's been in the business a long time. Okay, I get that. But every time he comes out with Penta or Rey Fénix, he looks like a slightly overgrown Make-A-Wish kid. I don't understand. He doesn't fit in with them at all. Like, it just, I don't know. It just doesn't work. So there's that. And then, Deonna Purrazzo versus Mariah May. I just don't
My
care.
God.
We know what the result was going to be because we know it's going to be Mariah May versus Toni Storm. We understand that. Why even have the goddamn match? Now, before you nerds even attempt to answer that question, I get it. The history between Deonna Purrazzo and Toni Storm, I get it. I understand. Shut up. But we've seen that already. It was very obvious it was going to be Mariah May. Are we done with the explanation now? Thank you. Class dismissed.
You dumb fucks.
Thank you. And then the Orange Cassidy versus Shane Taylor, because why? Look, and
God.
look, I'm a ROH guy, so I really like seeing Shane Taylor on TV more regularly. I do. That's a positive for me. But at the same time, if we're talking legitimately, right? And you're trying to build Shane Taylor Promotions as legitimate, and you finally bring back Anthony Ogogo, and you put him in Shane Taylor Promotions, which, by the way, in all seriousness, I think is an awesome decision. And I'm not kidding. Why the fuck would you have him lose to Orange Cassidy? That big badass motherfucker that looks once again like he could kill people, who looks like a legitimate badass, who, by the way, if you're unfamiliar with his history in Ring of Honor, he is a legitimate badass.
Who is speaking of Chain Taylor?
Yes.
Okay.
Somebody has to explain to me why Orange fucking Cassidy is beating Shane Taylor, but yeah, can get his brains bashed in by Trent Barretta.
And that came out of nowhere, that heel turn. No
Exactly.
explanation.
I just don't understand it. I don't get it.
All you fans, you're gonna like this. It's gonna make AEW great. Yay! Shut up.
I love it when Elio gets angry, but you know what I like even more? Do you want to hear what I like even more?
What's this?
I like it when you get angry because of logic. It is so beautiful to watch you get righteously pissed off. It's just beautiful, and when I'm sitting there suffering through AEW, wondering why the fuck I'm watching this shit, this is why. Because I get to sit back on my own show and enjoy moments like this, where Elio is like, "What the fuck is going on?" This is why Elio is on doing the most successful podcast in the game right there. Because not only is he a badass who knows his shit, he is undercover funny just like that. Oh my God, that was so well played. Oh my God. Can we please make the Tony Khan impression a staple of this show, please? I beg of you.
We do that.
That has to be a regular thing. But that's all I had for AEW. Do you have any delightful
You know what?
cookie crumbs to add?
It's kind of hard for me to do high point, low points, honestly, because we're recording the podcast while this was on, so it was kind of hard to like pay attention. But based on that, what you said, I can't. There are some that I did watch, and number one being the Adam Copeland Willow Nightingale, that was a low point. The Daniel Garcia Pac Penta match was a low point. Deonna Purrazzo was a low point. Shane Taylor, Orange Cassidy was a low point because Orange Cassidy shouldn't be beating Shane Taylor. The only
Thank
high point
you.
I have is Will Ospreay, Claudio Castagnoli. But on this show, there were three dark matches that have to do the indie spotlight.
Oh my God, there were three dark matches.
Three dark
Why?
matches we had. The first one we had was Powerhouse Hobbs defeating Anthony Young. Anthony Young, AEW, he's in IAIW in Combat Zone, and that's about all, and a bunch of other independent promotions. Then we had Sky Blue defeating Gemma.
Who the hell is Gemma?
Only two promotions, AEW and Ohio Valley.
Okay.
So, not much there. And in the third one, Anthony Ogogo defeated John Cruz, aka Serpentico.
Yay. Hooray.
Okay.
What?
And I think it was this guy. That. No, it was someone else. It was his partner. I can't think of the name. But he was the one that had a run in WWE. Like had a few enhancement matches in WWE, but doesn't matter. That's your independent spotlight. But I will say this: the Hook and Jericho segment was a high point, low and a low point. More of a low point because it was Hook, but because Jericho said what we've been saying this whole time on Wrestling POV, he told Hook, "You're not as good as you like to think you are."
And that was so true.
And he said, And the reason for that is because you've been getting the wrong kind of guidance your whole life, looking over at Taz.
Oh man, that was
So it gets a high point just for that alone. But otherwise, that segment was terrible too. I mean, like Jericho dropping his new trademarks. He's like, "Nah, all you have to do is, do you want my help?" And Hook's back there in the corner, like, "No. Shut up. That's all I got."
Oh my God. All right, so next up is SmackDown.
All
And
right, so.
you know what? This would be my A show of the week if I was if I'm being honest with you. Because largely because the Bloodline stuff was absolutely tremendous. We'll get more into that as we get further down
Did
the
you listen to the show, this new one that we just did on Wednesday?
Oh, you record on Wednesdays now?
It's gonna be like once a month. It's just once because we're moving to Thursdays. But we recorded on Wednesday this week only.
No, the last one I caught was your post WrestleMania show.
Okay, so this one, because we were talking about this whole Bloodline on SmackDown.
Yes.
Survivor Series, we're gonna get Bloodline versus the Samoan Dynasty.
I cannot wait. You know what? I'm so excited.
Hold on, there was one dark match on before SmackDown.
Okay.
So we had Ashante the Adonis and Cedric Alexander, or I think they're called Rags and Riches.
Yeah.
Get that, but whatever. Defeated the OC.
What?
Yes. You okay?
No, I'm not okay. The pain, the suffering.
Oh, that's gonna be the title of the podcast. The Pain and the Suffering. Boom. Right there.
Very good. So first and foremost, with SmackDown is the Bloodline stuff. That was the main storyline.
Have a question.
And
I have a question.
yeah.
What's MFT?
I don't know.
Because what?
I've yet to figure that out. I don't know.
You know what? I'm gonna actually Google that just out of curiosity, see if I actually find something. Go ahead.
So the first match, I'll give it a high point largely because of the winner. AJ Styles versus LA Knight. It was pretty much the same as the WrestleMania match. But just a different winner. And I actually liked the fact that AJ Styles won this match because I think AJ Styles and Cody Rhodes makes for the better match. And you know, if they choose to go this route, they can really pull on the Bullet Club history that both of these guys have. And given the new leadership, I'll be very interested to see if they go in that direction. But I'm very happy with this. And AJ Styles versus Cody Rhodes is gonna be phenomenal. I would also give the unveiling of the WWE Tag Team Championships a high point because those titles were absolutely beautiful. And then, surprisingly, because I usually really don't like these kind of matches, they always get a complaint when I see them in New Japan. But I really enjoyed the Fatal 4-Way to determine the number one contender for said championships. I honestly expected Angel and Humberto to win this. If not them, then the new Catch Republic. So I was very taken aback that it was the Street Profits. But I guess they needed momentum to move on to something new coming out of their feud with the Final Testament. So I'm good with it. And the fact that it got 17 minutes, more of that, please. And then, so the Solo Sikoa segment, where Tama Tonga drags out Kevin Owens, and then later on we discover that Tama Tonga caused the car crash that injured Kevin Owens and incapacitated him to the point of getting dragged out in front of Solo and Paul, and then Paul being afraid of Solo the whole time. I like where this is going. And I found it very interesting that shortly removed from WrestleMania that the crowd is already chanting for Roman.
I know, right?
I did not expect that at all. Even given what Solo is doing, I would not have expected them to chant for Roman this quickly. And if I don't think the company anticipated that either. That would just be my thought. Low points, Santos Escobar and Carlito. I'm gonna lay the blame largely on Carlito here. Something about that was just off. And not only that, but we have seen so many matches between Legado and LWO, it's getting old very quickly.
Isn't this like that one feud with the New Day and Judgment Day?
I was.
Or Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and Judgment Day.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. You literally took the words right out of my mouth. That is a perfect comparison. And yes, it's exactly like that. So that's what I had for Monday night or for Friday Night SmackDown, excuse me. Elio, what did you have?
So I pretty much had the same thing. Basically everything having to do with the Bloodline was a high point for me. And there were also two dark matches to end the show. So in this one we had a tag team title match. Austin Theory and Grayson Waller defeating Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio.
Boo.
And Bobby Lashley defeating Karrion Kross.
What the fuck are they doing with Final Testament? Jesus Christ.
And where is Paul Ellering been? What is going on?
I don't get that at all.
No.
I truly.
So that is the week in wrestling. You know what? We have time for. I think we have time for trivia. That's all you have for SmackDown?
Yes, sir.
All right. So I think we have time for trivia. Ben, I found Jey Uso trivia.
Okay.
Now, I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand if WWE. How stupid do they think fans are with these questions they ask? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Who is Jey Uso's father? Rikishi, The Rock, Yokozuna, Umaga. Really?
Rikishi, duh.
What the hell? This is coming from WWE's Instagram account.
God damn, that's pretty pathetic.
So, who was traded to SmackDown for Jey Uso last year? Baron Corbin, Rey Mysterio, Bobby Lashley, Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens.
Who has Jey Uso won tag team gold with? Sami Zayn, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre.
Sami Zayn.
Cody Rhodes.
I'm sorry. I misheard the question. Well,
I said, who has Jey Uso won tag team gold with?
well, Cody Rhodes. Absolutely. Yeah.
WWE, fucking do give us more of a challenge. Your questions are stupid. Like, how dumb do you think we are? We do our research here, you know?
Yes.
We don't fuck around. Anyways, so I think we should go into break and come back. We have the tournament and wrestling roulette.
Okay,
Because the
cool.
matches are all in place for Block B. And then we're gonna get into the finals.
Very cool.
All right, so stay right there. We will be back. All right, we're back, and Ben, it's time to book the tournament. This is Block B. It's the final block. Cause there are only two blocks here, and then it's gonna come down to the finals.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
All right. The first match in the left bracket, Demolition versus the Big Boss Man.
Demolition.
All right. And then we have Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair.
Ric Flair. See ya, Hogan. Don't let the door hit you in the ass.
All right,
Hogan or Flair, give me a break.
then we have the Ultimate Warrior and Tito Santana.
I'm gonna say Tito.
All right. I mean, his theme is not one of the most well-known ones out there. Like
Oh,
it's not like it.
themes. Okay,
Themes. That's why, and this is themes.
Ultimate Warrior. Yeah, I made a mistake. Okay.
Although you were right with the first one, we had with the first one, Demolition, then Rick. I guess you picked Ric Flair. 2001 Space Odyssey. Yep. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I'm cool with both of those.
All right, then. So Ultimate Warrior, like Tito Santana, is not one of those. It's like if I were to play Tito Santana, if Tito Santana's theme were to play, I wouldn't even know that it was his. That's how generic it was.
Oh, yeah, I made a mistake. I wasn't thinking.
All right, next one: Undertaker and Rick Rude.
Oh, Undertaker. Absolutely.
Okay. Oh shit. We're gonna get into old school territory in the next round. All right, triple threat match: Razor Ramon versus Crush versus Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Razor Ramon.
Okay. Right, Tony Montana moves on. Let's go. All right, now it's on to the right bracket. Randy Savage and Yokozuna.
Randy Savage.
Okay.
Although
Then we have to.
Yoko's was pretty cool too.
Then we have
What?
Tatanka versus Dino Bravo.
Tatanka.
Okay. Next, we have a Teddy Long special. It's gonna be a tag team match.
Playa. Playa, playa,
The
playa.
Young Stallions versus High Energy.
High energy.
Okay. And Strikeforce versus the Fabulous Rougeau Brothers.
Oh God. Jesus. Fabulous Rougeaus.
You know what? I didn't like Strikeforce's theme anyways. You've
No.
heard their theme, right?
Yeah.
Girls in Cars. All right, sure.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not? Okay. So back to the left bracket. Demolition versus Ric Flair.
Ric Flair.
Okay. All right. Not a fan of Rick Derringer. Okay. That's cool. That's cool. I know. I get you. You're not from the 70s like I am. Cool. Okay. Triple threat match. Ultimate Warrior versus Undertaker versus Razor Ramon.
Oh my God. I gotta go, Razor.
Okay. So, right. And in the next, in the right bracket, Randy Savage versus Tatanka.
Savage.
Okay. And High Energy versus the Fabulous Rougeau Brothers.
High energy.
All right. So your final four. Stop. There we go. Okay, sorry. Final four. Okay, here we go. Left bracket. Ric Flair versus Razor Ramon.
Razor.
Okay. And High Energy versus Randy Savage.
Randy Savage.
All right. Ben, your finals. Randy Savage versus Razor Ramon.
Oh my dear God. I gotta say, Razor.
Okay, Ben, your finals. Ricky Steamboat, the winner of Block A, versus Razor Ramon, the winner of Block B.
I gotta say, Ricky Steamboat.
All right, Ben. All right, so Ricky Steamboat. So Ben, let me just show you what you just did. There you go, the winner of the tournament.
Oh, that is a thing of beauty.
So
I love it.
now this is not the only tournament we have. We are going to the next one we're gonna have. It's gonna be all Attitude Era themes.
Okay.
So that one I'll set that one up, and that will be the next tournament. However, now do you know what time it is?
Is time for wrestling roulette.
Yes, sir, it's time for me to get angry if we run into ads.
Oh, my favorite part.
So we'll be back in a few. I'm just gonna set things up here. So stay right there. All right, it's time for wrestling roulette. We work. I play 21 tracks, 10 seconds. Ben has to guess which wrestler that theme belongs to, and of course we have the obstacles along the way, which means that if a wrestler's theme shows up more than once in the rotation, it is minus 1 point. So Ben, are you ready for your first one?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
That is in the Nikita Lions.
I would never have gotten that.
All right, number two, here we go.
I don't know.
That
Sorry.
is the Varsity Blondes.
Okay, well now I don't feel bad. Okay.
All
Nobody would
right.
have got that. Unless you're some
Number
AEW neckbeard bitch.
number three, here we go.
Well, that sounded cool, but I don't know what it is.
That is QT Marshall.
You see, I've never been so happy to be in the hole in my entire life.
All right, here we go, number four.
Out the mud.
No, it's not. That is Austin Theory. That was his first one.
Oh, boo. That sucks. What the fuck?
That's four, right?
Yeah.
All right, number five, here we go.
Insane clown posse.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. The oddities.
The Oddities. The same clown posse singing, but yeah, that I like that theme.
Okay.
I mean, it was okay for the time. In 2024, I don't know.
I got
All
a
right,
problem
here we go.
with John Tenta under a goddamn mask.
I know, right? All right, here we go, number six.
Paul White.
What? What?
Paul White.
How?
There's
How? Was it
still the
the
well.
well?
Yes.
Okay, let me ask you, if they hadn't said that, would you've gotten it?
No.
Okay. Paul White. That is terrible. All right, ready for, here we go, number seven.
Yep.
Tell you a little story.
The Rock.
The Rock. And I swear they made that song special, especially for this the CD, because Volume 5 was called Pie.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. All right, number eight.
Shayna
Shayna Baszler, yes. You are up to four. All right, number nine.
Pass.
That is Bad Bunny, Booker T.
I don't care.
I bet you're happy that you got that one. You didn't get that one.
I'm very thrilled.
All right, number 10. What?
What the hell is that? Here's the domino.
Deuce and Domino, yes.
What the hell is that move? You look like a poodle with its nose in the air. What the fuck?
Are you ready for your next one?
Yeah.
Number 11.
The Godwins?
No, it is not. That is Cade and Murdoch.
Oh, yeah, I don't think I would have got that. I hadn't heard that in a long time.
All right, number 12.
Got a tassel in your direction. Don't play. No voy a hacer mío.
I love it when we get Eddie Guerrero on this show. It gives me a very nice feeling.
All right. You are up to six. All right, number 13. Here we go.
I'm gonna kick myself, but I can't place it.
It's Akira Tozawa.
Oh, well, I don't, you know, Clay would get mad at me, but I don't care. That's fine.
All right, number 14. You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Nikki Bella.
No, it is not.
Brie had her own thing that
I know,
started with Brie Mode.
All right, I'll give you it. It says the Bella Twins, but yeah, Nikki Bella. All right, you're up to seven, I believe.
Yeah.
So here's number 15. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
AJ Lee. All right, number 16. Here we go.
Are you ready? Yeah, you know this.
That is bad.
I know that's a horrible version, but it's DX.
It is DX, but that is terrible. That's Age Against the Machine. They're the same group that did Jack Swagger's theme.
Oh, Jack Swagger's theme gives me nightmares.
Which one? The Ungerese one?
Whatever his original one was.
The original was an instrumental called Soaring Eagle or something. I don't know. All right, here we go.
Christ.
Number 17.
Jimmy Uso.
Jimmy Uso, yes. All right, here we go, number 18.
FABULOUS.
Carmella.
Carmella, number 19.
Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan. All right, number 20. Here we go.
American Dream.
Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes. Why do they wait so long? They wait like, it's like 4 seconds in before it starts.
Yeah, it's really weird.
All right, last one. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Enough is enough, and it's time for a change.
Owen Hart.
Owen Hart. All right. Ben, your final score is 14.
I came back from the dead there.
All right. Wanted to see what number 22 would have been?
Sure. Will Hobbs.
No, it's not. It's Powerhouse Hobbs. I'm joking. But yeah, wow. Yeah, because they said it right there. Otherwise, AEW themes are so bad.
I know. Plus, their sound system, whoever does that.
Mikey Rukus.
No, their music, you know, has their own issues. But their sound system, the way
it when the guys come out to their themes.
It's really bad.
Can't hear it. Yeah. All right, so that is Wrestling Roulette. Ben, during commercial, I got Dark Side of the Ring, Chris Adams, because did you watch it?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think of it?
I came out really not liking the guy.
You know, okay, I'm going to tell you a story here. Now, I started collecting wrestling magazines when I was 12 years old. I bought my first one in July of 1986, okay?
Right.
So I didn't know who Chris Adams was. I only heard the name because the one thing I love about the black and white magazines, they have the official ratings at the back of the magazine. So right. I only knew the name Chris Adams. Then I started collecting this one called All-Star Wrestling Heroes and Villains, where in the middle of the magazine, they would put 8 full-color posters. So in one of the magazines, there was the first feud I ever read about with Chris Adams. It was Chris Adams versus Terry Taylor.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that they were tag team, and then later on, Chris Adams turned on Taylor, and somewhat like Paul Orndorff did with Hulk Hogan, like he just turned on Taylor and nailed him with the pile driver.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's pretty much the first time I heard the name Chris Adams. So now I'm gonna get to go and see Dark Side of the Ring.
Well, they do talk more about the wrestling than the Chris Cult episode. But you guys are gonna see some stuff that's gonna, if you're anything like me, and you envision, you know, any woman potentially, you know, being your mother or your sister or, you know, anyone in your family, and you see what this guy did, even to some people who aren't women, I'll be very interested to hear your thoughts.
So we're doing Dynasty results on Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
We can talk about it on Tuesday. Then we can add that to the show on Tuesday. That'll bring us up to date with Dark Side of the Ring because the new one is on Tuesday night.
Yeah, and that one's gonna be really cool. I'm looking forward to that one with Sherry Martel.
Something from Sherry, yes.
Yeah.
And I think we interviewed her son back in 2015. Because we did a Sensational Sherry tribute show.
Yeah, and I've never heard anything dark about Sensational Sherry, so this will be entirely new to me.
the best I can come up with is like all the time she spent with Mula's training school. It's pretty, well, it's the only thing I can come up with.
And I'm sure that'll play a part in it too. So, either way, I know we didn't touch much on Dynasty during this episode because we covered the prediction show already.
I'm gonna do add up all your scores up to now, and then I'm gonna give you your final score so you can keep track of things.
Because
now we're the pay-per-view points game, we're not playing anymore. We're just doing this for fun.
Now, okay.
Yeah. It's not like before we were giving away a ring or like a title or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just like basically making predictions, seeing like a win-loss records, which mean more than they do on AEW Dynamite.
Well, actually, you know, that's actually probably true, sadly. But we will be back on Tuesday with Dynasty results and reaction. And as much as we don't enjoy AEW weekly television, by and large, I will say pay-per-view is where they typically do their best work that I legitimately do enjoy. So I am looking forward to potentially having a very positive conversation about AEW, and enjoy the pay-per-view, and we'll see you on Tuesday. And Elio, you want to take us out?
All right, that is it for my co-host Ben. I'm Elio. We will talk to you all on Tuesday night.
All the sick get sicker. The profits from the people feed the poor another needle. The flames get bigger while the moths all shiver. The subsidizing evil with no budget for a sequel. The Prozac's gift wrapped with a smile. The cash grab never goes out.